Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Exodus. We thank you for the story of your people, the story of your provision. And we pray that as we look at that a little bit more deeply now, that you will help us to have hearts that no longer want to grumble or complain, but trust you wholeheartedly. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to reveal to you this morning a hidden talent that you probably have. It's a talent that you could put in the skills section on your resume. You'd never think to put it there, but there's a high probability that you've nailed it. That skill is grumbling and complaining.
Yeah.
Grumbling and complaining is a national pastime of ours. There are Facebook pages dedicated to whinging and complaining. Maybe you're part of one. Maybe you love reading it and participating in it. Or you hear the term Air North, and you complain about how many minutes you've had to wait or how many cancellations you've had to endure. I used to work for a government department, and for a while I worked in the national office, and my role was to look at all of the complaints for the entire organisation, and there were thousands upon thousands of them every week, and I got to read them all. People dissatisfied, people unhappy, some justified, some not. I also got to read the compliments that people gave as well. That took me a minute or two. There just wasn't many. Grumbling and complaining. We are good at it. But this is actually a problem. It's a problem for God's people because grumbling and complaining reveals a heart problem that we have towards our God. A heart problem that, if not dealt with, can lead to a disaster with God. Now, God's people in Exodus, they too were excellent grumblers and complainers. God had just saved his people in the most extraordinary way, bringing them out of Egypt with all the plagues, bringing them through the Red Sea. And as the people are led by God towards the mountain where they can worship him, God's people employ their impressive grumbling and complaining skills. So please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15, starting at verse 22. And first, we're going to learn from the experts how to grumble and complain. Then we'll look at God's response, which is merciful and compassionate. And then lastly, we will learn from the expert who never grumbled or complained. So let's learn from the experts on how to complain. God's people, they pass through the Red Sea. We see in verse 22 that they're in the desert of Shur. And we learn that for 3 days they've traveled in this desert and they've found no water. God's people are thirsty. Imagine you go on a 3-day hike in this heat, in the desert, and you've got no prospect of water. That's a scary thought, isn't it? And then God's people come across some good news. In verse 23, they find some glorious water, but they couldn't drink it because the water was bitter. That's what the word Mara means, bitter. It must have been terribly bitter because they were thirsty and they wouldn't drink it. And so in verse 24, the people grumbled. They grumbled against Moses. What are we to drink? But the grumbling doesn't stop there. As we jump down to chapter 16, God's people have been provided water, which we'll look at in a moment. But then we read in verse 2, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And now why are they grumbling this time? They're hungry. They're very hungry. And they're in the desert and their prospects for food are not looking good. And so they complain. Verse 3, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Ouch. God's people are looking back at Egypt with rose-coloured glasses. They're looking back to what they see as the glory days where they were oppressed and slaves in Egypt, where actually they cried out to God to deliver them. They're looking back thinking, oh, that was glorious. That's heaven for them. But no. I think we could say with confidence that they are hungry, thirsty. Do you remember the oat milk campaign? It was back in 2010 where you get this angry looking guy saying, kill, hungry, thirsty, dead. Well, that is what God's people want. They're thirsty. They're hungry. And they really are hungry. They really are thirsty. They're wandering around in the desert. But they whinge and they complain and they grumble. They grumble against God. They grumble against Moses. They forget the amazing thing that God has just done in bringing them out of Egypt. And they're just like, just take us back. This just isn't worth it. Well, Jesus says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if God's people are grumbling, there's actually a heart problem to diagnose. What is going on in the Israelite heart that is causing them to grumble and to complain against God? If you were to get out an X-ray machine and scan the ancient Israelite heart and try and diagnose what is going on, what would we find? Well, let's get out our X-ray machine. And what we see is there's two heart problems. The first heart problem is that they don't actually trust God. For all that God has done for them, they still do not believe that God is for them. They don't trust that he will provide for them. They're grumbling and saying to God, we're hungry, we're thirsty, and we don't believe that you're going to do anything about it. Notice how God's people here, they don't cry out to God in an attitude of prayerful dependence. They're not praying the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. They're not asking God to show his power and mercy again. No, they're grumbling, they're complaining, they do not trust God. The second heart problem the X-ray reveals in the Israelite heart is actually they believe the lie of the devil. They believe the lie that they would be better off if God had not acted in salvation, if they had been left to serve the evil king Pharaoh who oppressed and killed them. They believe the lie that they would be better off impoverished, that they'd be better off not being blessed by God. And so that's what's going on in their hearts. There's a lack of trust, and they're believing the lies of the devil, and so they complain and they grumble. Now, what about when we complain and we grumble? If we apply the X-ray to our heart, what does that reveal? Will we find a lack of trust in the goodness of God? A belief that he won't provide? When we complain about flight delays? When we complain about our life circumstances? When we find ourselves grumbling and complaining? Is it because we believe that this situation is outside of God's control? Is it because we believe that God is not acting for our good in this situation? Will it reveal that we are believing the lies of the devil? Believing that this world has more to offer us than God and his son Jesus? That we would be better off without Jesus and the salvation he brings? That we'd be better off living for the things of the now rather than the things to come and the hope of heaven. Well, that's what God's people are doing in Exodus. They're grumbling, they're complaining, they're not trusting God, they're believing the lies of the devil. That is what is going on in their hearts. So let's now look at God's response. Jump back to chapter 15, verse 25. After the people grumbled, Moses cried out to the Lord. Moses actually does what all of the people should have done. Talk to God. And we read in verse 25 that the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it in the water and the water became fit to drink. That undrinkable water, now refreshing drink. God provided for them amazingly. The next thing we see is God provided for them again with a promise. In verse 26, he said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. In spite of God's people's grumbling and complaining, God is promising them mercy. He's promising not to judge them like he judged the Egyptians. What a promise. The third thing God does to provide is he leads them to Elim in verse 27, where there are 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they could camp near the water. The situation has gone from being there's no drinkable water to there being water in an abundance, because God has supernaturally provided for his people in spite of their grumbling. So they're no longer thirsty. But what about hungry? Well, would God provide for that? Yes. The Lord said to Moses in chapter 16, verse 4, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you, and the people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day." Bread from heaven. Instead of rain, bread. Instead of dew, tasty honey-flavored bits of goodness that just melt in your mouth. It's described in verse 7 as seeing the glory of the Lord. It would have been something to behold. But we see God provide not only bread, but he also provides meat. Verse 8, Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning." And there was enough, there was so much quail, so much meat that it just covered the ground. God provided in abundance. Water, bread, meat in the desert. God is good. And then he doesn't stop there. He gives them his presence in verse 10. "The glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." God was with his people. So how does God respond to the grumbling and complaining of his people? Well, we see God's amazing provision. We see God's amazing promise. We see God's amazing presence. God reminds his people that they have got no good reason to grumble or complain. He's teaching them to trust him. Have you ever had one of those moments where you're watching someone else's kid be an absolute ratbag? The kid is being rude and demanding, and then you look at the parent kind of inwardly just hoping, pleading, "Do something," and then the parent just gives the kid what they want. You're like, "No!" But that's actually what God does with us. We grumble, we complain, we're ratbags, and yet God provides so abundantly, even though we do not deserve it. And he does so to teach us that we can trust him. And today God has provided us with living water and bread from heaven in Jesus. Now, Jesus gives us drink that wells up into eternal life. John chapter 4, verse 14. "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up into eternal life." But he also satisfies the hunger. Jesus gives us bread from heaven. John chapter 6, verse 33. "For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then Jesus is able to say in John chapter 6, verse 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." God in Jesus gives us absolutely everything that we need for eternal life with him. Amen. To satisfy our eternal thirst, our eternal hunger. And it's only because of Jesus and his death on the cross for our sin and his resurrection from the dead that he's able to give us these things. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died for our lack of trust in God. He died for when we believe the lies of the world. And so when we place our trust in him, we can be forgiven. When we place our trust in Jesus, that is when we receive this drink and we eat this food. Now, this doesn't mean that there's going to not be testing times in the here and now. Now, the Israelites had been saved from Egypt, but yet they were still hungry, thirsty. See, even as God provides, we see he's actually concerned with people's hearts. He tests them in verse 7 about whether they will listen to him or not. God is testing their hearts to see if they would trust him. And God does similar with us, I think. In those moments where we are tempted to grumble and complain, God is asking us, will you trust him? when we have those moments of, my heart just feels like grumbling. My heart just feels like complaining. And we have those moments all the time. And some of them are legit. You know, when you're hungry and you're thirsty, you're like, I get hungry. I've never been 3 days hungry, but if I skip a meal, I grumble and complain. But it's in those moments that we actually need to reframe the situation. It's like, how is God using this situation where I want to grumble and complain to teach me to trust him? How is God using this to shape my heart so that I would be thankful and gracious for his wonderful provision? What rough edges is God getting rid of in my sinful, rebellious heart as I think about grumbling and complaining? So we've seen the Israelites grumble. We've seen God's response. And now we're going to learn from the example of how not to grumble and complain. Remember, it's out of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we're grumbling and complaining, it indicates a problem with our heart. And so actually it helps if we look to Jesus, who didn't have a problem with his heart. He never whinged or complained. He is the example. He is the one we need to follow, the one that we need to learn from. Now, even as Jesus went to the cross, he never cried out, "It's unfair." He never screamed, "Injustice." When his disciples deserted him, Jesus didn't whinge because of their lack of loyalty. When he was betrayed, he didn't complain to the other disciples, going, "Oh, that Judas." He didn't say, "Woe is me." He didn't whinge and complain. Jesus entrusted himself fully to God. Jesus didn't believe the lie that things would be better if he didn't trust God. He didn't succumb to a lack of thankfulness towards God because he knew that God would provide. And even as Jesus died on the cross, God did provide. Jesus was raised from the grave. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, we read, "God exalted him," that is Jesus, "to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." What provision. Jesus is our example. We can follow him. Now, the very next verses in Philippians, which we actually had read out as part of our readings, talk about how we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But then, particularly in verse 14, it says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." Do you see what it says there? The way in which we shine for Jesus is by holding on to the word of life. But it's actually also by not grumbling and not complaining and not arguing. The fuel for shining for Jesus is not being a grumbler. So when you're given the worst shifts at work, don't grumble and complain. When your work contract changes and you have to work more for less, don't grumble and complain. When you have to work with the most painful person on a project or a committee, don't grumble and complain. When your children, and I doubt this ever happens to us, but when they don't listen to your wise advice, don't grumble and complain. When your flights are cancelled, delayed, don't grumble and complain. Now, if this were as easy as just saying, stop grumbling and complaining, well, we'd all nail it, wouldn't we? We'd all be able to do that. But it's not that simple because it's a heart problem. We need God to be at work in our hearts. And if our faith is in Jesus, we can know with confidence that his Holy Spirit dwells in us and he is doing the ongoing work of transforming our hearts so that we can follow the example of Christ. And so we need to trust Jesus and we need to ask God to help us. We need to ask God to help us to trust him in these circumstances so that we won't want to grumble and complain. We have to ask God to help us to not believe the lies of the world so that we would know the glorious truth, that we have an eternal home waiting for us. We have to ask God to give us self-control to hold our tongue in those moments when we do want to grumble and complain, and instead use that to express our trust in Him. So instead of complaining about the worst shifts at work, we can express our thankfulness that God has provided for us so abundantly in Jesus and give thanks for the opportunity that we have to work for His glory. When we have to work with that difficult person, we can trust that God has put us there for a reason, and we can be thankful that it's us having to work with them other than some other poor unsuspecting person. When our child ignores our wise advice, which I know never happens, we can actually give thanks that God cares more about our children than we do, and He cares more about their hearts than we do. When our airline cancels our flight or delays our flight, or we get stuck in the middle and we've got no space, we can praise God we have the resources to be able to travel so quickly across the country. There is, or has been, keeping it anonymous, a member of our church who shall remain nameless. But what strikes me about this person particularly is that they actively seek not to grumble or complain. Life can be throwing them lemons and curveballs, and from a worldly perspective, they have every reason to complain, every reason to grumble. But instead, they give thanks to God. And it's not just flippant, but that they know that even when things are tough, that God will provide for them. Now, this person's not perfect, but I tell you what, this person stands out. Imagine what opportunities God might give you for witnessing to Him if you're shining for Jesus by not whinging and complaining at work or at school with your friends' parents. What if you were known as the person who never whinged or complained, no matter what? What if our church had the reputation of being a group of people who never whinged and complained? That would stand out, wouldn't it? Particularly in Australia, where we're so good at whinging and complaining. Now, this isn't saying that you shouldn't take the avenues to raise issues where they need to be raised, raise concerns where those concerns need to be brought to the attention of the right people. It's not saying that. But it's actually got to do with our hearts and the grumbling and complaining that goes on in our hearts. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks, so let's better get that right. As Christians, as people with faith in Jesus, we shouldn't be the experts in grumbling and complaining. That should not be a secret hidden skill that we can put on our resume. No, we need to be the people that put on our resume that we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what the circumstance. We can trust the Lord will provide our needs. And so we, as God's people, we can look back to His great act of salvation in Jesus, and we can know that He has provided for our needs so abundantly. He's provided the eternal water that will quench our eternal thirst. He's provided the bread from heaven that will satisfy our hunger, that wells up into eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's pray and then praise the Lord and give thanks for His wonderful provision and abundance. Lord, please forgive us for the times where we grumble and complain, where instead of expressing our trust in You, we believe the lies of the world. We ask, Heavenly Father, that by Your Spirit, through Your Word, You would continually remind us of the great truth that You are a God who provides, and You have provided so abundantly in Jesus. Thank You that through His death and resurrection, we have the promise of life forever. And even now, when there are moments where we feel like where we are being tested and we feel like grumbling and complaining, Lord, help us to reframe those moments, to remember Your goodness, and instead to praise You, to give You thanks, for You are the God who provides. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.